You're tuned to American Independence Radio. Political Dynamite is coming up next. I'm Michael Stewart with Adam McGavro in our studios in New York. You're tuned to another edition of Political Dynamite. Last week, we covered the inaugural, and we had some commentary there. And we also dealt with Condi Rice as grilled by Barbara Boxer. In this week's episode, we're going to be discussing a lot of the things that we just couldn't get to last week, because we only had an hour to deal, and the inauguration and the confirmation hearings took up much of that hour. But first, I'd like to introduce my co-host, Adam McGavro, who was with me last week, but we didn't get a chance to talk about who he is. So let's introduce Adam a little bit. Adam, how are you?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Adam's a singer-songwriter. I'm good. And living and working in New York. And we're actually going to feature one of his songs during our intermission. And Adam's album is selling very well at cdbaby.com. It's titled Breathe. And he also has a pretty informative website. If you want to learn more about Adam, it's at adammugavero.com. How about spelling that out for us, Adam?
It's M-U-G-A-V, like Victor, E-R-O, adammugavero.com.
I like to say McGavero, but I guess it's McGavero.
And you can throw it around.
Right.
Whatever tickles your fancy.
Right. So, let's get into the news, shall we, Adam?
Sounds good, man.
All right. This is from The Guardian.
It's a good one.
The Guardian Unlimited. Bush under fire over human rights.
Uh-oh.
This is from January 14th, 2005. One of the things we wanted to cover last week, but we just didn't get time to get around to. America's human rights abuses have provided a rallying cry for terrorists and set a bad example to regimes seeking to justify their own poor rights records, a leading independent watchdog group said yesterday. The torture and degrading treatment of prisoners in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Guantanamo Bay have undermined the credibility of the United States as a defender of human rights and opponent of terrorism, the New York-based Human Rights Watch said in its annual report. Quote, the U.S. government is less and less able to push for justice abroad because it is unwilling to see justice done at home, says Kenneth Roth, the group's executive director. The scathing report argues that the United States has weakened its own moral authority at a time when that authority is most needed. Quote, in the midst of a seeming epidemic of suicide bombings, beheadings, and other attacks on civilians and non-combatants. Quote, when the United States disregards human rights, it undermines that human rights culture and thus sabotages one of the most important tools for dissuading potential terrorists. Instead, U.S. abuses have provided a new rallying cry for terrorist recruiters, and the pictures from Abu Ghraib have become the recruiting posters for terrorism. The report says that America's disregard of human rights has encouraged other countries to follow suit. Egypt has defended a decision to renew emergency laws by referring to U.S. anti-terror legislation. Malaysia justifies detention without trial by invoking Guantanamo. Russia cites Abu Ghraib to blame for abuses in Chechnya solely on low-ranking soldiers. But there are a few signs in Washington of a change of approach. The White House secretly persuaded Congress to overturn legislation passed last month by a 92-6 Senate vote that would have imposed restrictions on extreme interrogation methods, the New York Times reported. Condoleezza Rice, the National Security Advisor, now Secretary of State, opposed the measure because it provides legal protections to foreign prisoners to which they are not now entitled. Unquote. The U.S. military is proceeding with trials of supposed Abu Ghraib torturers, arguing that abuse was the work of a small band of rogue soldiers. Official inquiries have largely spared the military top brass and the administration itself, which first approved the loosening of guidelines on interrogation in 2002. Alberto Gonzalez, the White House lawyer who approved the guidelines and who told the president the Geneva Conventions were obsolete in the face of the terrorist threat, has been nominated and is expected to be confirmed as Attorney General. Human Rights Watch said senior U.S. officials had tried to pin the blame on young soldiers. It said the U.S. should appoint a special prosecutor to investigate abuse and to bring to justice all those responsible, but the Pentagon said it was factually incorrect to say that senior officials were responsible. The erosion of human rights has also reached the European Union, Human Rights Watch warns. It points out that the British government refuses to rule out using information extracted from torture in court proceedings. Basic principles of international law were being chipped away in Britain, Steve Crenshaw, the London director of Human Rights Watch, said yesterday. Quote, it was dismaying that it needed the law lord's judgment to rule that detention without trial was not acceptable in a democracy, he told The Guardian. Quote, it is even more dismaying that the British government seems reluctant to concede this. Human Rights Watch also points to shortcomings in security laws in Iraq proposed by the United States. In the vast majority of trials it had observed there, defendants were detained without judicial warrants and had no prior access to a lawyer. It points out another kind of abuse, massive ethnic cleansing in Darfur, Western Sudan. Continued inaction risks undermining the fundamental principle that all nations of the world will never let sovereignty stand in the way of their responsibility to protect people from mass atrocities. This from The Guardian. So there we have it again, Adam. A major Human Rights Watch watchdog group basically indicting the Bush administration, the United States military, and others involved with Abu Ghraib and military detentions in Guantanamo, etc., of human rights abuses.
Right. And how, in your opinion, Mike, how much weight do you think this carries in, you know, in the homeland, in American soil? How much weight does this carry in our media, and you know, in conversation, you know?
Well, I can tell you that from mainstream media that I've watched prior to the inaugural, and this was released by The Guardian January 14th, just a little less than a week before the inauguration, that I found it to be nearly wholly ignored, except for perhaps some small-scale coverage of it, but for the most part, I think that perhaps the mainstream media just viewed this as old news. But one of the interesting things that I'm thinking about right now, one of the statements there by the group was that the Pentagon dismissed the charges as factually inaccurate. But you know what? I think it's time to let an independent prosecutor, an independent investigator, take a look at this. I personally don't believe that these 18 and 19-year-old young men from the heartland,
right,
women from the heartland of America,
right, are
decided
fully
sua sponte that they're
right.
going to go ahead and
right.
just torture these people.
Right.
And I think
right.
that maybe we've heard enough from some others involved in the situation that sort of lends credibility to the idea that they were following orders.
Right.
Now, I've heard responses from the conservative side say that, well, you know, it's codified that every soldier has the responsibility to refuse an order if it appears to be unlawful.
Uh-huh.
But we all know that in the culture of the military, that's not an easy thing to do.
Right.
It's not easy to stand up to your superior officers and say,
no, this is against the law.
So, yeah, you know what? I'm standing up against you
right.
and all those guys dressed in black who are right. CIA interrogators or whatever and saying, I'm not getting involved in this. And you know what? I'm blowing the whistle.
Yeah.
That's a pretty hard thing to do for an 18 or 19-year-old kid in the military
sure.
to do.
Sure.
And I don't think we can expect them to do that.
Yeah.
You know, that often.
Yeah. You know something that grabbed me? Were you finished with that point?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
You know what? Something that I grabbed from this particularly was U.S. abuses providing a rallying cry for terrorist recruiters, and the pictures of the Abu Ghraib, you know, photos becoming recruiting posters
right,
for the terrorists.
Right.
For Terrorism Incorporated.
I think that's clear. I think we've seen that bear itself out. since May of last year.
I don't think that we as a public really fully understand our position.
Adam, I'm not sure if I'm comfortable with we, because mm-hmm. myself, most of our listeners, etc., aren't necessarily like behind this war, and we understand what's wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
So are you speaking about we as a nation, or like, do you really just want to direct your comments more towards like what the Bush administration is doing?
The thing, it's a really great point that you're bringing up right now, because I think very much that when I say we or us, I'm saying that there's a public action and reaction by our administration, and we are unfortunately, in my opinion only, I'll speak for myself, but I may speak for others, I don't know, we're more or less pawns in a sense of what this administration does. If you go abroad, you're looked at as an American, and you're looked at as the president. You know what George Bush does, what we do, what America does, and we have to defend that. We have to say that's not my politics. I believe in this. And I feel like Canadians who speak English, for example,
right.
when you walk, will sew a Canadian flag on their backpack to show, hey, I speak English, but I'm not American.
Well, this is interesting. Like, having visited like Ireland, Scotland, and England last year,
uh-huh.
while I was over there before the election, especially in London and Scotland, people would hear that I'm an American. And in political discussion,
right.
over there they hate George Bush, but
sure.
they don't hate Americans.
Ah.
They think just as much as I do that election was stolen,
right.
was taken away from the American people.
Right.
And one of the big topics of discussion back then was if you re-elect him, if you let that happen again, then we're going to hate
Shame
all
on
of you.
You.
Yeah,
right.
exactly.
Right.
Shame on you.
Fooled you once.
Right, exactly.
Fooled you twice.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
Yes, we don't hate you. We hate Bush.
Right.
You let him win again.
Right.
Then we hate all of you. So I don't know. That could be the current sentiment now over in London.
Right.
But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I say we sometimes, and I mean I'm very much against what we're doing in so many
what Bush aspects. Is doing.
Yeah, and there it is. I can't even... the
right.
distinction
yeah, yeah,
between...
Yeah. Because I'm not doing it.
Right.
Our listeners, for the most part, I'm pretty sure...
Right.
Except for the ones at the National Security Agency listening right now.
Hello.
And the Pentagon and whatever.
I didn't do it.
Right. Most of our listeners are not that we.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I'm certainly not. And I know... a lot of people that aren't.
Yeah.
But you're
Myself
saying we
included.
By Americans?
Right.
Like
by default.
We by America?
We by default.
But for me, I'm never going to cast that penumbra across America.
Right.
I'd rather generate anger by saying Bush than guilt by saying we.
Right.
You know?
Maybe you can help me to...
I'm going to hook up some jumper cables to your nipples, and then whenever you say we, when you mean Bush, I'm going to just pull the generator.
I'm very disheartened. I'm very disheartened. That's really where it comes
Ladies and gentlemen,
down to that.
You're tuned to Political Dynamite on American Independence Radio. We'll be back after these messages.
You're listening to American Independence Radio, a beacon of truth in a sea of lies, 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 lies.
American Red Cross, UNICEF, AmeriCares, Save the Children. These are just a few of the organizations where you can help provide relief for those who lost so much in the Southeast Asian tsunamis. Live365.com asks you, the Live365 community, to help in any way you can. Go to live365.com/relief to find a list of resources where you can offer assistance in the way of donation. Communities helping communities, people helping people. live365.com/relief.
Draft Dodger Rag. Oh, I'm just a typical American boy from a typical American town. I believe in God and Senator Dodd and keeping old Castro down. And when it came my time to serve, I knew better dead than red. But when I got to my old draft board, buddy, this is what I said. Sarge, I'm only 18, I got a ruptured spleen, and I always carry a purse. I got eyes like a bat, my feet are flat, my asthma's getting worse. Yeah, think of my career, my sweetheart dear, my poor old invalid aunt. Besides, I ain't no fool, I'm a-going to school, and I'm a-working in a defense plan. I got a dislocated disc and a racked up back. I'm allergic to flowers and bugs. And when the bombshell hits, I get epileptic fits, and I'm addicted to 1,000 drugs. I got the weakness woes, I can't touch my toes, I can hardly reach my knees. And if the enemy came close to me, oh, I'd probably start to sneeze. Yes, I'm only 18, I got a ruptured spleen, and I always carry a purse. I got eyes like a bat, my feet are flat, my asthma's getting worse. Yes, think of my career, my sweetheart dear, my poor old invalid aunt. Besides, I ain't no fool, I'm a-going to school, and I'm a-working in a defense plan. I hate Joe Lie, and I hope he dies, but one thing you gotta see, that someone's gotta go over there, and that someone isn't me. So I wish you well, Sarge, give him hell, kill me 1,000 or so. And if you ever get a war without blood and gore, I'll be the first to go. Yes, I'm only 18, I got a ruptured spleen, and I always carry a purse. I got eyes like a bat, my feet are flat, my asthma's getting worse. Yes, think of my career, my sweetheart dear, my poor old invalid aunt. Besides, I ain't no fool, I'm a-going to school, and I'm a-working in a defense plan.
You're tuned to American Independence Radio. Welcome back to Political Dynamite. You just heard Phil Oakes, Adam, singing Draft Dodger Rag. And it's, I don't know, Dick Cheney Rag, George Bush Rag, like all the ways that they decided to get out of the war.
Who's our service. Phil Oakes today, you know?
Did you know this, by the way? I just learned this today. Alberto Gonzalez was in the United States Air Force Academy for 2 years. He decided to leave after two of his 4 years because if once you enter as a junior cadet in the United States Air Force or any of the military academies, mm-hmm. you have a 4-year service commitment to the military, which he wanted to avoid. Hmm. So he took his 2 years at the United States Air Force Academy, left before he was obligated to repay for his education
right.
By joining the service as an officer. And went to Rice University to go on and graduate and get his law degree.
Ah.
Interesting.
Oh, nice.
So, anyway, I think it's good for America to remember while we were earlier in the program, the first segment, we were talking about Abu Ghraib.
Right.
I think it's important for America to remember perhaps an early reaction by a prominent conservative talk show host.
Ooh, who might that be, Mike?
I think that would be Rush Limbaugh.
Ooh, my favorite.
Right.
Whew.
So we're going to play the clip in its entirety in fairness to our broadcasting colleague, Rush Limbaugh.
Hi, Rush.
Hey, Rush, what's up? And
Jackass. Did I say that on the air?
You did. That's all right. You know what? If Al Franken could write a book calling Rush Limbaugh is a big fat idiot. I think you can.
I can call him a jackass.
You can call him a jackass.
I really. Hey, jackass.
So, here we go. The following is going to be a clip of Rush Limbaugh's comments Sweet. After the breaking news of the Abu Ghraib scandal.
Total clown.
First off, these pictures. These pictures of these prisoners of war, a lot of, you know, the Brits are denying that the pictures that ran in the Daily Mirror are even genuinely and legitimately out of Iraq. Equipment in those pictures, they say they've never sent to Iraq. Uniforms are incorrect. People don't do that. In these American prisoners of war, have you people noticed who the torturers are? Women. The babes. The babes are meeting out the torture. Well, I've just been asked if I'm surprised. I get into a lot of trouble here with this. I know, part of me is not. Yes, I'm surprised. I am surprised. I do not believe. I will go to my grave placing women on the pedestal of gentleness. Yes, I know. It's on the surface, it's a smart move, but in real life, it could be incredibly stupid. Because the fact women are tougher than, let's be honest about this. I mean, this business of the weaker sex is all a bunch of trumped up stuff they teach you when you're 5 years old, and you end up living your whole life that way, and it's just one big mystery that never gets solved. At any rate, ladies and gentlemen, I have a tough time believing all this. There's some question now that some of these photos have been doctored and that they're not totally legitimate. And I think what needs to happen here, we need to keep this in perspective. Here's the way I see this. About as many soldiers are said to be involved in these outrageous acts of torture against the Iraqi prisoners as there have been plagiarizing and fabricating reporters working for the New York Times, USA Today, and other papers around the country. We have as many indecent acts by these soldiers as we have plagiarist reporters working for mainstream media, partisan media institutions here. I mean, it's awful when it happens. Don't you just hate it when it happens? But it doesn't mean the entire institution is disreputable. Doesn't mean the military is all bad, and it doesn't mean that the media is all bad just because you got some plagiarists out there making things up, making up quotes, making up people, saying they were places or they weren't. Torture is torture. Plagiarism is plagiarism. And I think that we need somebody with expertise to get to the bottom of this. And I think we should send Kerry over there, John Kerry, who has lots of experience in war atrocities. He admitted to committing them. He came back from Vietnam, and he's testifying there before the Senate. He said, I did this, and I did that. And what Kerry said he did is far worse than what's depicted in these pictures. I mean, can we be honest here? What Kerry said he did, and what Kerry said other soldiers did in Vietnam, and by the way, we need to point out again that he did not report these atrocities when he saw them. He did not go to a commanding officer and say, this is ridiculous what's happening here, what I saw. We've got to stop this. Or he didn't say, it's ridiculous what I'm doing. You got to stop me. No, he waited until he got back home, joined the Vietnam Veterans Against the War, and then started telling these tales, spinning these stories. And the acts that he described, he saw committed by U.S. soldiers make these torturous, or these torture acts that are ostensibly depicted in these photos, rather tame. Folks, these torture pictures with the women torturers. I mean, Marv Albert looking at those pictures and say, hey, that doesn't look so bad. You know, if you look at these pictures, I mean, I don't know if it's just me, but it looks just like anything you'd see Madonna or Britney Spears do on stage. Get an NEA grant for something like this. I mean, this is something you can see on stage at Lincoln Center from an NEA grant. Maybe Sex in the City, the movie. It's just me.
So where do we start, Mike?
Adam, is this guy on... Is he still on the Vicodin?
Yeah.
You know, is he still getting his housekeeper to go out and buy Vicodin for him, this drunk? He sounds drunk or high when he starts talking about babes in the military.
Right.
And stuff like that. I don't know where to start first. I'll start here. He talks about the New York Times. Back when this aired, there was a prominent New York Times reporter involved in a plagiarism scandal. It was well aired, well vented, and that reporter's career is basically destroyed. But he's standing. Rush takes the high horse here.
Of course he does.
And with really not. I mean, if we want to talk about plagiarism. and media ethics, you know, we can introduce, you know, we could just start talking about Armstrong Williams, you know, that recently revealed that he accepted money, a lot of it, to push the White House's education policy in his columns and commentary. I guess the next thing that comes to mind is about doctored photos.
Well, it's funny that he would mention doctored photos in comparison to doctored journalists and make that comparison as if somebody needs to be an independent auditor to check on both. You have very credible people with those pictures, taking those pictures, and to be honest with you, I trust those people over Rush Limbaugh. So
yeah, you might recall that the source of the photos was basically these photos were slipped underneath the door of a DOD investigator's door. So it was sort of unclear as to what the source of the photos were, except they were digital photos placed on a compact disc and slid under the door. That's how this got out. Apparently, some of these photos had actually been were actually emailed home with some derogatory captions or whatever.
So it sounds pretty sensitive. I mean, the material sounds pretty sensitive to not make a judgment on it. I mean,
I mean, there's that possibility, but while this is breaking out and while he's discussing the veracity of the photos in the context of
whether their credibility.
Yeah, right. We're talking like a credibility issue with respect to journalists. I don't think he had much of a leg to stand on and to like continue this diatribe in the manner that he does. It's humorous and sad, but really reflective of the conservative point of view on this issue. And while we're on the...
It's also so quick to comment on it. I mean, don't comment on something that you don't so much know about. You're gonna make a stand. You're gonna make a strong stand like that.
Yeah.
Know what you're talking about.
Right. And it even got more ridiculous as he went on.
Yeah.
And while he was on the topic of doctored photos, we can look at our own government and their use of doctored photos in the first Gulf War with George Bush Sr., where it was.
Tell me about it.
Basically, there were doctored photographs. There were satellite photographs that showed the Iraqi troops amassing on the Saudi border, which was used to justify an American troop presence in Saudi Arabia after the Iraqi invasion of Kuwait in 1991. So,
okay. It's like a good graphic design job or something, or what?
Yeah, it was. In fact, and it was a journalist that uncovered the fact that this, in fact, had not. These, in fact, were doctored photos. They were compared with old Soviet satellite photos of the same area, which showed nothing at all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Interesting, right?
Oh, weird. That's weird.
Yeah.
So, well, maybe not that weird at all.
Right. And, of course, you know, he goes on to attack Kerry about his service in Vietnam, and we all know Bush didn't go.
Right. Yeah.
And did everything he could to avoid service. Mm. And, in fact, when Kerry comes back from the war, after serving honorably, being decorated, being wounded...
and then speaking out against it in light of his own attack, you know, that shows to me nothing other than guts.
Right,
you know,
right.
To attack that man's credibility is just making yourself look bad.
Right. It does.
It just does.
Of course, this is Limbaugh, and it's pre-election Limbaugh, so he's doing everything he can to squeeze in any anti-Kerry message that he can in any context whatsoever.
Right.
And somehow manages to squeeze in an anti-Kerry anti-Kerry statement into the context of Bush's war in Iraq.
Right. Yeah.
Bush's Secretary of Defense.
Exactly.
Bush's campaign in Iraq.
Right.
you know, and our poor soldiers in this situation with this scandal in Abu Ghraib.
Yeah.
Somehow makes Kerry connects Kerry yeah. to all that.
Well, he did it, man.
Pure Vicodin fueled insanity.
Yeah, I like the Vicodin fueled babes
yeah.
as military personnel.
Right
there, and you chauvinist bastard. Yeah. I'm sorry. Did I say that again on air? I guess
yeah.
I did.
Yeah, and you can because this is internet radio.
Oh,
where
whoops.
The FCC can't touch us. But,
sorry.
And then he goes on, and you all heard it, where he discusses it basically as, well, this is nothing, you know, different than what we would see by abstract art funded by an NEA grant. So this is your
this
little
is
retrospective on the conservative point of view of the Abu Ghraib scandal as voiced
by Rush Limbaugh
and his Institute for Advanced Conservative Studies, as he calls it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is that what he calls it?
Yeah, he likes you know, the golden EIB microphone, and if you see pictures of him behind uh-huh. it really is golden, and he sits in the EIB chair, which has an EIB symbol on the back.
Oh, wow.
It's all
Well, of course.
Very grandiose.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, our studios here in New York at American Independence Radio are not that posh.
They're pretty good.
They're not bad. It's okay. So what I wanted to do to place this all into context for you again is play the... it's a clip of Luke Harding. He's a reporter for The Guardian Unlimited. And this report aired May 12th, 2004, shortly after the Abu Ghraib scandal broke.
This is Luke Harding reporting from Baghdad for Guardian Unlimited. The death of Nick Burke has been a big story here. We knew 2 days ago that the body of an unidentified American had been found in Baghdad, close to a motorway bridge. It now appears that his body was hanging upside down from the bridge and the head had been left nearby. And it was only really last night, at about kind of 8 o'clock local time, that we got the details that this was an American contractor who'd been missing for 3 weeks and had been executed on video. The reaction here, I have to say, from Iraqis has been fairly muted. I mean, really, Iraq is still convulsed by the whole scandal of Abu Ghraib, by the torture and humiliation of Iraqi prisoners in Abu Ghraib. And while I think most Iraqis feel that this kind of execution is horrible, at the same time, the whole kind of Abu Ghraib scandal is still in everyone's minds here. I think the death of Nick Burke will have a fairly catastrophic effect on attempts by foreigners to reconstruct Iraq. But I mean, having said that, really, I think the vast majority of foreign contractors have either left or have really kind of dramatically reduced their operations. We've already had a month of chaos and violence here. We've had a 3-week siege in Fallujah by the American military, which has led to hundreds of civilian deaths. We've had several rounds of kidnappings and executions. And really, these days, most foreigners don't travel much out of Baghdad. I mean, the situation is just far too dangerous at the moment. But there's no doubt that, you know, following his death, a few foreigners who are still here will be even more cautious. I don't think it'll have any kind of direct bearing on the insurrection here, if you like, that's been fighting today in Kabbalah with as many as 20 fighters from Muqtada al-Sadr's Mahdi army apparently killed. But this is a separate and ongoing problem which may be resolved in the next few days and weeks. We don't know. There hasn't been tremendous reaction from religious or Islamic leaders here. When these things have happened in the past, Iraqi leaders tend to say that this kind of killing is un-Islamic. It does not represent Iraqi standards or principles. So having said that, really you have to put it in the context of the far greater catastrophe that Iraqi steel has engulfed them, especially in the last few weeks, with brutal US military offenses against built-up residential areas, not just in Fallujah, but also more recently in Sadr City and in Najaf and Kutra and other Shia cities in the south. And really, I think there's so kind of much sort of common disgruntlement at U.S. occupation. Just though the story is very sad, it makes little difference to this kind of big picture of aggravation and injustice.
Mike, what was the guy's name that was executed? What was his name?
That was Nick Burke.
Nick Burke.
Yeah.
So Nick Burke's death, and the...
I'm going to just jump in for a second, just to remind everyone, because this happened a while ago. Nick Burke was publicly executed on the internet. It became a widely spread internet video, the first of its kind, ever seen like this. Of Nick Berg was beheaded, basically, and it was videotaped and placed on the internet.
And in the context of, you know, how we're using this segment to some degree, in lieu of Abu Ghraib photos and our involvement with that. The point of making a knee-jerk reaction to, you know, Iraqis kind of in some degree, you know, thinking, yes, this is horrible that this happened, that he, you know, is executed and he's hanging from a bridge, and nobody's happy about that. But when you have all kinds of negative things happening around you, displaced bombs going off in the wrong place, you have you have your own people seriously mistreated. I don't know. I think people weren't as shocked maybe as they could have been. I don't know.
Yeah, you're addressing what Luke Harding reported as a fairly muted response,
right?
To Nick Berg's death and his discovery, where he was found hanging from a bridge, and his head was found elsewhere.
Hmm.
Harding points out in his report that this is not a particularly, you know, this is not an Islamic act. There's right. a small degree of muted outrage, but what's muting it is the torture and humiliation experienced by Iraqis in Abu Ghraib.
By Americans.
And, right, by Americans. And also, the subsequent American response to the insurgency with rather brutal and indiscriminate fire in... military raids into urban neighborhoods.
Little, like, eye for an eye kind of a thing. So,
well, it feels that way to them.
Right.
I'm sure that it does. You know, a lot of civilians were injured in these raids in Fallujah, right. Mosul.
Najaf.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, and we just offered this clip up to you to sort of put into context... what's really happening in Iraq and what the conservatives think about what's happening in Iraq.
Right.
And these reports were just days apart.
Right.
Rush Limbaugh's commentary and then this subsequent report submitted by Luke Harding from The Guardian Unlimited.
Right. And you can tell me a little bit about The Guardian Unlimited. That's more of a leftist media, or, you know, it's just reporting.
I wouldn't even necessarily call it leftist.
Okay.
I would call it... The Guardian is, you know, widely considered to be one of the most independent and journalistically ethical publications.
Right.
And they also do radio. Mm-hmm. And they might even do TV in the UK. The last time I was there, I don't recall seeing The Guardian on television, but... they do print, they do radio in the UK, and they basically have a reputation for telling you the way it is.
Right.
And we count on them here right. to do that with respect to their reporting in Iraq, because they're willing to report situations like this, and they're also willing to put it in the context of this is a tremendous human tragedy. But yeah, there you have it. There we have Rush Limbaugh in his posh studios in New York.
So in other words, I'll just make a comment.
Luke Harding's report subsequently after that, yeah.
You have to search for this. American listeners have to really search for the truth.
That's why we're here.
Really
search
for the truth.
That's why American Independence Radio is on the air.
Yeah.
And that's why we broadcast across the United States and around the world.
Oh,
so that people in the United States... and sometimes, maybe even perhaps more importantly, people around the world, our listeners in Canada and Japan, Spain and elsewhere, get a sense that this, we're not necessarily wholly behind what's happening in the world, and that there are Americans out there willing to do what we do on this program and others that are on our network to present you what we see as the truth. And how does Joe put it in his station ID? A beacon of truth in a sea of lies. So that's what we're hoping to do here. So that's why we offer you this comparison, and that's why we do Political Dynamite every day.
Solid.
But we're going to move on now, away from the Iraqi war, and take you into the next object of our next target on Political Dynamite.
Oh, yeah.
One more thing. It struck me how incredibly insensitive Limbaugh was in this whole situation.
Oh, yeah.
Just what total disregard for human suffering that man has. I think that's as far as I'm going to go with him.
He's made it political.
Right. Here we go. Fearful U.S. TV networks censor more shows, Adam. Here we go. The panic that is gripping American TV bosses facing a puritanical backlash.
Our Father who art in heaven.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry.
Or exorbitant government fines has today extended to a cartoon series and a BBC drama. Fox TV has decided to pixelate a bear derriere in a cartoon series known as The Family Guy, extremely popular in the United States, which was originally broadcast 5 years ago with no complaints. An American public television network, the PBS, is censoring BBC drama documentary called Dirty War, wary of attracting a public backlash and fines from the federal watchdog, the FCC. PBS, the American Public Television Network, said it would cut scenes featuring a naked woman being decontaminated in a shower in the film that centers on the aftermath of a dirty bomb attack on London. Fox TV has already been hit by fines from the Federal Communications Commission, with its network of affiliate stations each fined $7,000 in October for airing Married by America, a reality series in which a female contestant was seen licking cream from a male stripper's chest. I missed that.
Good quality.
Yeah.
Good
well,
quality.
That's Fox quality TV for you. With its affiliate stations already wrapped, the FCC is now considering a record $2 million fine for the Fox network for the same offense. Quote, "We have been checking and second-guessing ourselves now," said Gail Berman, head of Fox Entertainment, who told Variety Today. PBS said it would use other footage from the film to show the woman from a different angle. The BBC drama, which is distributed by cable giant HBO in the United States, is part of a parcel of three films the network is donating to PBS in order to show its programming to a wider audience. But fearful of a backlash from Christian indecency groups and increasingly stiff fines from regulators.
Who elected George Bush again?
I think that was the Christian right.
Oh, okay. Anyway, what were you saying?
But fearful of a backlash from Christian and decency groups and increasingly stiff fines from regulators that apply to mainstream television but not to cable channels, PBS said it would cut the film. The PBS president, Pat Mitchell, said it was making the cuts in order to protect local stations from potential fines from the FCC. Hmm. Quote, "Cable doesn't have to live with those regulations. We do," Ms. Mitchell told delegates during a company briefing, adding that it would also cut an expletive used by the vice president, Dick Cheney, in Sometimes in April, a film about the Rwandan genocide. Now you have. Yeah, now they have to cut the vice president himself. I wonder what he said. While the FCC has been accused by some groups of deliberately undercounting complaints, it has nevertheless shown an appetite for hitting stations with some substantial fines. Last year, CBS parent Viacom was given a $500,000 fine for showing a sub-1-second glance, less than 1 second glance,
right,
of Janet Jackson's breast, which is no treat, by the way, during the Super Bowl halftime show.
Ooh-ha.
Wow, ooh, hey now. Fearful of even the slightest protest, Fox this year turned down an advertisement for a cold remedy because it contained a brief flash of 84-year-old actor Mickey Rooney's bottom. You know, that's okay.
Who doesn't want to see that?
That was a good call.
Good job.
That's a good call.
FCC did the right
because,
thing.
Because... I don't want to see Mickey Rooney's ass. Ever.
.com.
Ever. You can see it on Mickey Rooney's ass.com. Oh, man.
I'm a big fan.
Wow.
I go there all the time.
That's, that was a good call. So, other networks are also being ultra cautious. Late last year, 66 stations in the ABC network refused to show Steven Spielberg's Second World War drama, Saving Private Ryan, because of its explicit language. That was an amazing film, by the way. An incredible film about war. Really. And they should have left it all together, because you know what? Those guys weren't saying, oh, fudge, you know,
yeah,
oh, shoot, you know. Amazing film. Groups such as the Parents Television Council and the American Decency Association have become increasingly adept at harnessing the power of the internet and email, in particular, to lobby for what they call family-friendly TV. Supporters can simply email the group's website to have their complaint sent through to the relevant sector within the FCC. Just last week, the PTC urged supporters to mount an email campaign against CBS for rebroadcasting an episode of the missing person drama Without a Trace, which attracted around 7,500 complaints when it was first shown because it featured scenes of a teenage orgy. This is in this article. I didn't know that. You know?
Yeah.
As if it isn't bad enough that CBS Viacom was so irresponsible to air this rubbish once at a time when millions of children were in the viewing audience, they chose to air it again, this time on the heels of their consent decree, which they admitted to violating indecency laws and promised to take immediate steps not to do it again. Said Tim Winter, the executive director of the PTC. Quote, we are urging our members and other concerned citizens to file indecency complaints with the FCC about this rebroadcast. I'm still thinking about Mickey Rooney.
How can you not? Come on, it's Mickey Rooney.
So there we are with that.
So Mike, the FCC,
yeah,
they regulate, you know, mostly sexual comment or verbal cursing or.
Well, I guess, but you know what? Broadcasters.
What about content,
like,
man? What about fear factor? What about like chewing live animals?
All right with me.
What about eating like horse dung or like chewing a live cockroach?
That's all right.
I tend to think that if you're going to
weigh
out...
I don't want that regulated. That to me, it's like a. You know what? If you want to put trash on TV. You know, I got no problem.
Yeah, but then keep the playing field open then. You're going to put whatever... If they're going to let that fly, okay, they're not going to let Mickey Rooney's bottom fly?
Well, I guess not.
They're not going to let the Family Guy's, like, cartoon not fly?
Yeah, that's... I think it's gone too far. And I know that... there's a lot of people in the industry that don't even know what the rules are yet. In fact, I don't know. I'm not ashamed to admit, I listen to Howard Stern every morning.
Uh-huh.
You know, I flip him on. I just want to see what he's going to say next.
Right.
You know, and one of his freaking complaints and why he's going to Sirius Satellite Radio,
uh-huh,
which isn't regulated by the FCC, is because at least there, he doesn't have to worry about this quagmire the FCC's created where the rules are unclear.
Right.
Where there's just spontaneous sort of capricious ideas put forward about what's considered decent,
right,
what's considered indecent, and there are no really real clear rules.
Right.
But this has gone too far.
Yeah.
I mean, pixelating a cartoon ass.
Yeah.
It's the Family Guy, for Christ's sakes. Nobody's going to find, like, Peter's ass very sexy on the Family Guy. Not to mention, how many pervs are going to go on a rampage after seeing Mickey Rooney's pruny butt in an ad, you know? Who are we protecting from Mickey Rooney's ass?
No one.
So I gotta
maybe
say,
maybe my grandma. Yeah, actually,
you know what?
Right.
If she wants to see that, she should buy a computer.
What do you mean?
Fox, I'm glad that they turned down that ad. That's something I never want to see. So there we have the FCC, and its war on the American culture. Also supported by the fundamentalist Christian wrong. Right. Well, Adam, I see that we're like 51 minutes into our broadcast already and we only have an hour. There's a lot of other news to cover, but yeah. I wanted to make sure that we got in the last segment this intercepted NSA recording between an NSA strike team and its control.
My eyes are wide open right now.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, this is big stuff. This is a political dynamite exclusive.
Whoa.
What we have here, as you know, Condi took a beating from Barbara Boxer.
She sure
we aired that last week.
Right, right.
During her Senate confirmation
she
hearings.
She wanted to get even or something, I
just,
heard.
Just, it was like,
the great
it
fun.
Was really rough. Boxer did a great job, though.
Yeah.
But this is apparently what was happening at some point during the hearing. An NSA strike team entering Barbara Boxer's home.
Whoa.
And in fact, according to this intercepted transmission that we have here on American Independence Radio's Political Dynamite, exclusively, Condi even takes a break from testimony at some point to sort of reaffirm the strike team's orders at Barbara Boxer's home. So we're going to play this right now.
Wow.
This is shocking footage that you're about to listen to right now, folks. American Independence Radio, Political Dynamite exclusive. This is Kalen, Wisco Bravi 1. We're entering the Boxer home now. Over.
We copy that. Go 15 feet forward and make a left.
Roger that. Are you getting a good picture through the helmet cam? Over.
We see you loud and clear.
Roger that. Entering the home now. I've got the lock jimmied. I'm moving the sliding door and entering the Boxer home now. Over.
We follow that. We copy.
Kitchen's clear. Nobody here. Entering living room now. Over. We've got the living room. What's the orders again? Over.
Take everybody out.
Roger that. Kill all targets. Over. Jesus Christ, control. There's a kid in here. He's watching SpongeBob. Jesus.
SpongeBob is gay. Please shoot the kid.
Jesus Christ, I don't know if I can do it, control. Are you sure that Condi wants us to do this kind of thing?
Yes, because we have asked American men and women in uniform to do the hardest thing.
This is direct order. Take SpongeBob out.
Roger that. Oh, Jesus, I can't do it. I gotta shoot the kid.
I am more than aware of the stakes.
Oh, God, it's a bloody mess here. I'm gonna move to the next room. I'm a little shaken up, though. Over.
Have we found Barbara Boxer?
Negative. You remember she's in the hearing now with Condi, right? But, Jesus, this is an old woman. I don't know if I can do this. For God's sake, she's begging for her life.
Did you find SpongeBob?
negative on SpongeBob. That was on the TV control. Wake up, all right? Because I'm about to shoot a grandmother here, for God's sake. Oh, it's a bloody mess, but I did it. How am I going to sleep with myself tonight? I don't know. I'm heading upstairs now. Over.
Copy that. We're looking for Barbara Boxer's dog.
Oh, the dog was in the yard. I fed it a poison steak. Over. I'm upstairs now. I think it's Mr. Boxer, and he's in boxers. That's ironic. But that.
Please ask him if he's interested in SpongeBob.
I can't do it. I can't shoot a man in his boxers. I can't shoot Mr. Boxer in his boxers. Over.
Ask him if he likes Mickey Rooney.
He said no, and I gotta shoot him, right?
You only have to shoot him if he likes SpongeBob Squirtle.
The gun just went off, for Christ's sakes. I shot him anyway. Poor bastard. I think that's it. I'm out of here.
So, wow, huh? This is pretty amazing. That was a Political Dynamite exclusive on American Independence Radio. What'd you think of that, Adam?
It was very authentic.
Yeah, don't you think? That was pretty clear audio, considering it's intercepted NSA.
Right. How did you get a copy of that? That's what I want to know. Who do you know out there? You know somebody that I don't know?
I can't disclose the source, unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah.
How much do you need, Mike?
I don't know, maybe $5.
We can talk off the air.
Get a bus ride home from the studio.
All right, sweet.
You've been listening to American Independence Radio's Political Dynamite. I'm Michael Stewart.
I'm Adam McGavaro.
Thank you for listening. We're going to take you out.
Thanks a lot.
With one of Adam's songs, which from his new album, Breathe, and it's available at cdbaby.com. Take a visit there, search for his name, or search for the album Breathe. You'll find it. It's a great album. I'm addicted to it. And he's a good friend of American Independence Radio and a fine musician. So enjoy this song. What are we going to hear, Adam, on the way out?
I think we're going to listen to History.
History. That's a good one. Thanks for listening, everyone. And stay tuned for more great programming on American Independence Radio. Political Dynamite will be back with a new volume next week.
Rose and journal from the rain and the sun. Pages slightly reminiscent of some interest. Dirty leather cover faded situations. And what we write down's whatever we remember. I remember writing pages about you. You remember writing pages about me. The very same way. It's erroneous to think that we've all changed. We're the same old things that we did the last time. It's all fine. from the hands that made the Bible. A marble icon of a man that he once knew. A thousand rules that govern us from ourselves.
American Independence Radio.